today's the day. Clothes pressed, stunner shade secured. Rose petals in my pockets, filled to the brim. You know, I really feel like I should be a little more up and go about it all, but something doesn't feel right. Something's wrong. I keep finding myself distracted. I keep finding myself, I don't know, I just can't focus. I know that I need to rub it in everyone's face that we won, that I'm the best, but I don't know. Keep hearing things, seeing something. You know, most people probably don't sleep all too good for a day like today, but I don't think that's it. I don't sleep. That's not really my brand. I don't know. It almost feels like I'm being watched. You ever feel like you're being watched? You ever feel like something's just hovering over you? Or you think you see something out of the corner of your eye and you go to turn your head and nothing was there or it's gone or whatever? Or you think you hear your name? You ever think you hear your name in public and you look around and there's nobody calling you, no one looking at you? Or some other noise? You ever think you hear a noise and what could have possibly even made that noise? There's nothing around. I keep hearing it. What is it? Okay, I've got something to do, got somewhere to be. I'm just gonna reel it on in. You can do this.
Hey everybody, and welcome to Super Quest Saga, the show where we here at the Dungeon Cast sit around the table and play some Dungeons & Dragons. My name is Will Stark, and I shall be your secretive Dungeon Master for this evening. Joining me, as always, is...
Josh Freeland, playing Sebastian Crenshaw, Half-Orc Paladin.
There's special guest Jake, playing Persephone Goldpetal, the Furbolg Druid.
And I'm Brian, and today I'll be playing Human Warlock Carter Huttenberg.
Mm-hmm. And last we left off with you guys won the Blood Gala tournament.
Hell so
you guys,
yes, yes, we did.
Be the reigning champions.
Goddamn champions.
Damn right.
Victory dances.
So real quick recap over the last few episodes. You guys came to a Goblinoid Republic territory known as Starworm City, mm-hmm, in order to come into contact with an information broker that Victoria knew of, named Maladala. She is the runner of a prominent brothel here in Starmore City. You guys asked her for some very, very difficult to acquire information, and mm-hmm, the price was way too steep. So rather than pay her the 200,000 credits that it would cost, you guys decided to represent her in the upcoming Blood Gala tournament in order to defeat her nemesis, Vanessa.
Yes, we did that entirely on our terms.
Yes, we did.
Right. You guys entered the tournament. You met Korak, Ironhide. Yeah. He trained you guys up. And you guys did it.
Sorry.
And you guys did it. And now you're champions. And so our scene opens up with the three
montage
of you on a parade float.
Yeah! Thunderstruck is playing.
Sure, Thunderstruck is playing. You're all standing on this 15-foot wide pillar that stands about 20 feet tall and is on top of a 30-foot tall parade float. So you guys are up here. You're like 45 feet in the air.
Ooh, hell yeah.
This pillar stands next to two other pillars. Each of these is shorter in height. And these two pillars have the runner-up team standing on them. So on the next highest one, you have the Dual Janissaries. And on the next higher one, you have the Boomhammer Brothers.
The assumed city's most powerful warriors gathered in one place.
Indeed.
Oh,
this
no
is true. On the sides of each of these pillars are the symbols of each team member. So for the Boomhammer Brothers, there's like a hammer and a bomb. And for the Jewel Janissaries, there's three different color gems for each Jewel Janissary. What symbols are on your guys' giant pillar?
Mm. Oh, me first?
Yes,
right.
Always.
You know how it works around here, man.
I thought maybe we'd change it up. I don't know. Going with some orc tusk and a baseball bat.
Okay. Yeah. Some tusk and a baseball bat.
That's pretty dope. I'll do a staff, my staff, flanked by two wolves. Ooh. Some are lady.
I picture the
side
wolves like howling.
Up. Yes.
Yes.
Okay, 100%.
Cool. I like that.
Yes.
That's super dope.
Mine is a top hat with a rose in front of it. Uh-huh. The rose is like, and the top hat are kind of at a skewed angle,
yeah,
making
yeah
like somewhat of an X.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, that just that's it. Very
cool beans.
Velvet black and brilliant red.
Right. So all three of these symbols are kind of glowing on the side of your Isis pillar.
Sweet.
Mm-hmm. The your float that you guys are on is in a line of about 50 floats that are all part of this Blood Gala finale celebration.
Oh, shit.
The float ahead of you guys is this 100-foot long and 40-foot tall replica of what experts think the Star Worm looked like when it was alive. And it's this enormous red and orange centipede monster with green segmented eyes, 1,000 legs, and 100 tentacles. The animatronics on it are both astounding and, quite frankly, unnerving.
Yeah.
Behind you guys,
it's alive.
I want to shoot it.
The float that's following you guys, behind you guys, is this 50-foot tall replica of the upper body and like bust of the founder of the Goblinoid Republic, a hobgoblin warlord named Sundervedd the Black. This enormous hobgoblin statue is adorned with spiky black plate mail and has an enormous flaming greatsword. The fire is authentic.
Cool.
I like it.
So it's this really spectacular parade that you guys have become a part of. The streets are full to the brim of spectators, all ooing and awing as the floats go past. Mm-hmm. And every as you guys are passing, the crowd goes wild. You know, they're cheering for the champions.
Can I be hitting out some of those balls to everybody? Those little rubber
sure,
skulls?
Sure, yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You're just hitting like, skulls.
Clink, clink.
Yeah. I'm throwing
hit
rose,
them out, like,
I'm throwing rose petals. And I love it. I'm making sure big handfuls of them hit the opposing teams like in the face as yeah, they fall.
They're just standing there in roses.
Like, yeah.
That's I hate hilarious. You.
I'm probably like hey!
Yeah, the other two teams don't look too pleased. Obviously, they're the runner-ups. But they're, you know, they're still part of the celebration.
Losers.
Losers. Oh, yeah.
And they just have to stand there and you're gloating.
Yeah.
So yeah, all in all, the parade ends up taking about 2 hours in whole. And okay. It passes down every major street in the city. And it starts, when it's coming to an end, it ends as it wraps around the Colosseum, the Viscera Pits. It's at this point that your guys float. Breaks off from the rest of the line, and it ventures toward the Viscera Pits and through this gateway and into the arena.
Viscera. Delicious.
The Colosseum is packed with screaming fans.
Nice.
And as the float makes its way to the center of the arena floor, at this point, all three of the pillars that you guys are on begin to descend, and they become flush with the float and kind of make this stage that's at the center of the arena. At this point, the crowd is cheering like wildly, and this goes on for about 10 minutes before the
10 minutes of cheering,
of just cheering,
just a standing ovation,
like, just standing there basking yeah. in the.
Whoa. I'm just soaking yeah. it in. I'm like, damn.
Do we have some sort of trophy?
Not yet.
Oh, we're on our way.
Yeah, this is happening right now. Yeah, this is your guys'.
They're cheering this long before we even have the thing.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So the crowd simmers down, and that goblin announcer from the actual tournament comes floating down on his, like, floating podium. Why don't we give it up? Another round of applause for our Blood Gala champions! And the crowd goes crazy all over again.
I got my dancing lights out. We're both doing the Running Man.
This has to be the greatest, most spectacular tournament in Blood Gala history since Korak the Killer suplexed Night Hag Granny Gruesome while she had Glurblub and Biter trapped in her nightmare vortex.
Classic. Yes. I watched that. Such a good highlight.
You guys totally like Korak probably made you guys watch that 100 times.
Yeah. Yeah. Me and Percy went to the library and we watched that shit on there.
Oh yeah, I forgot you guys did that. Yes, absolutely.
It's fucking great.
So the crowd cheers at that.
Iconic.
That's my favorite, too.
Well, without further ado, let's bring out the rings. And so at this point, three tournament officials approach the stage. They climb onto the stage, and each of them is holding a cushion bearing a black box. And one of these officials stands in front of each team. And simultaneously, they open the boxes, and inside are sets of bronze, silver, and gold rings. Gold for you guys, because you guys are the victims.
Hell yeah. Yes.
Each ring is individualized, and engraved on it is your team symbol.
Ooh.
Oh, so yeah. They're handed out to you.
Yes.
You guys take them? You guys put them on?
Yes. 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 Right.
So you guys have new...
I hang mine from a chain.
There we go.
A
I like
fancy
that.
Chain.
There you go. I like that. That's super cool.
That's pretty dope.
Let's hear it for the Boomhammer Brothers! And the goblins are like, ah! And the crowd goes, ah!
I throw a fucking pile of roses on him.
Oh my god.
Ruthless.
Good job.
Failures.
Let's hear it for the Jewel Janissaries!
Hitting them too.
Yeah. Great chuckers. And let's hear it for our champions, Stranger Things.
Yeah. Throw a bunch. I throw a handful in his face. Yeah. A handful in her face.
A handful in my phone's face.
And in mine, too. And then whoever else is around. If those guys who gave us the rings are still here. Just back real quick.
Fuck, it was roses.
It kind of, it's like the wad of them just like hits you like real quick and then it.
Yeah, I like that. That's hilarious. And for our champions, it is my honor and privilege to present the grand prize of 100,000 credits.
Yes. Yes. So is it a big check?
Yes. Another tournament official climbs up the
champagne
stage
and milk?
With an enormous check written out to the order of 100,000 credits and presents it to the three of you.
Hell yes.
At this point, photographers are flashing and like you guys are posing with this giant check.
Okay, we need to do that. Here's a flash still. So anybody, you know, if you feel like drawing this would be cool, but big check, Percy in the middle, tall as fuck, holding the check, Sebastian on one side with the milk, just like got milk all over him like a race car driver, and I've got like I'm holding one side and have the champagne like just pops and like foaming over, and then like flash shot.
Yeah. Yep, there it is.
Love the imagery.
And that's exactly what happens. That's the picture you all carry with you back home.
Also, we fade to black and white right there.
Oh, not quite yet. Not quite yet.
We fade back in.
She was like, you not.
And now, a word from our champions. And
oh, shit.
The goblin floats down to his podium and he hands a mic to you guys. What do you guys do?
I grab it.
Okay. Carter has the mic.
He's the face.
I mean, you probably didn't notice at first because of the branding change, but I feel like we've been very successful at solidifying ourselves as the artist formerly known as Strange Things. Stranger Things! Give it up for us!
Yeah, Stranger Things! What?
Yeah, we're the best. I don't know, you guys got anything?
Thank you.
Thanks for coming to our show.
This is the most riveting speech I've ever heard.
Say
something, Bass. Say something.
We will not be outdone or outmuscled.
Ever!
Yes. Yeah. Oh. We are the best!
Us!
We're better at fighting. Know me forever as Carter Struttenberg, and I toss the mic back to whoever.
And here the scene fades.
We're totally not wanted by the elf and that.
We faded back in from black to do like a really awkward.
Yeah, that's exactly what happened. So, Madame Maladala has actually put together a decadent after party for you guys at the luxury hotel, the Stella Torre. The party happens in an enormous penthouse suite with the finest of delicacies and drinks available. It's also a veritable who's who of Starworm City. So there's a lot of like important people partying.
There's a really bassy version of Thunderstruck playing.
Yeah, like there we go. There we go.
Like a party like dance version. Like
flashing
dance
lights remix. Going on.
Yeah, there we go. Maladala seems to spend a lot of the time partying, entertaining a gaggle of men at her disposal. Mm-hmm. Korak is there, and he's drinking with Glurblood and a small goblin named Biter. Female goblin. The goblin announcer is actually there, and he's drinking a martini at the bar.
Oh, cool.
Amazing.
Oh,
yeah.
There are various entertainers, politicians, and athletes milling about the place. Victoria seems to be enjoying herself.
Hmm.
And you guys, as you guys are partying here, it's actually been a while since you've seen Prim, but what are you guys doing here?
Is she at the party too, or
she's supposed to be?
But she's not here.
Yeah. Well, first let's start with what are you guys doing at the party, and then we can tackle the where's Prim question.
I'm totally trying to get a selfie with Korak, Glurblub, and
absolutely.
And Biter. I'm like, oh my god, they're such big fans.
Yeah, and they're like, and they're fanning out over you guys.
Oh, you guys are so cool.
Oh, so it's easy. They want a selfie. Yeah. So let's all get a selfie.
Let's get a selfie.
Full team, Bass.
Double team selfie.
Yes. I know you didn't watch like we did, but we know.
I have the replay right here. He's just like,
you just see Korak with this frail looking hag in his arms. He's just like, oh,
I got this.
This is the best.
Watch it in slow mo now. Watch it.
Oh, I can see the bones break. Oh god!
Yeah, it's like glorious. Right here, the shoulder really pops. Oh yeah! So, yeah. Oh man!
Zoom in.
You
on
guys
that.
Are the best.
Zoom in. Zoom in.
Oh! Glub glub. Yes.
Yeah. We're worthy of the secret handshake.
I'll never wash it.
I'll never wash it. So yeah. Besides that, do you guys do anything else while you guys are here partying?
Well, I was like Percy. I think Sebastian would be hanging out with Korak, just thanking him for all the training and all the help, and just.
Partying
and drinking with him, man. It's like,
this one's to you.
Can we split up and each do our own? Like, can this be yours? And then we'll do our own individual things?
Sure. Yeah.
That'd be cool.
Korak totally shares drinks and just talks fighting with you.
Yeah. Shoot the shit. Yep.
I
think I'll hang out, you know, of course, walk around and hang out with Victoria for a little bit.
Yeah, gotta buy the announcer make my rounds. Go by the announcer.
Oh, yeah, I'll go by the announcer guy. I'll go around to everybody.
Yeah.
Ah! Shots! The announcer's just like, take a shot with me! Come on, shots! Let's go.
Okay. All right.
Now.
Drink! Drink!
That's hilarious.
It was real good. It was real good.
You thought it was a persona. No, that's just who he is. So, so yeah, that happens. What about you two?
I'd probably be hanging out, meeting everybody, being a little social butterfly,
cool beans, cool
and
beans.
Then probably hanging out with Vicky for most of
yeah.
the
yeah. Yeah, she's just having a good time.
Yeah.
Just you tell she's like trying to forget there were ever any problems.
Yeah.
I'm going to go find like the ritzy people here, like the cigar smokers.
Oh, plenty of those, yeah.
And I want to find like a game, like whatever futuristic, probably high class, sophisticated game of like pool or darts they have going on here.
Okay, yeah. I
like
picture
laser
like
darts or something.
Yeah, they
what do you got? What do you got for me?
Well, let's go laser darts. I like laser darts.
That's pretty dope.
And I'm doing whatever it is. It's probably okay. Here's the thing. You hold. Mm-hmm. You mind?
No, go, yeah, it's all you, man.
You hold a dart, something that is like a dart in your hand, but you just, like, toss it and don't let it go, and it shoots a laser out, like, that follows the trajectory of the darts, and it's all laser animated.
That's pretty cool. Pretty I like that, yeah.
And I'm doing it with my mage hand.
Ooh. Oh, nice.
Yeah, and I'm smoking a cigar while I'm doing it, and I'm probably
roll
boss.
I'll accept performance or athletics.
Ooh. Performance it is.
Extra dope.
Where's my character sheet? Here it is.
We need one of those.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a 5, but performance, that makes it an 8.
Okay, you're doing pretty good. You're getting a paltry claps whenever you do a good
I'm definitely drunk, and it's definitely because I'm mage-handing, and I'm
at least
I'm
hitting a board,
cigar,
you know?
And I have a drink in this hand. Yeah. Cigar, drink, mage-hand, dart, talking to somebody.
I love it. Cool, cool. Sounds great. Anything else?
Where's Primina?
Okay, well, we're going to get to that then.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So as the party goes on, I think you guys start to come to the realization that you haven't seen Prim in a bit.
Yeah.
I don't know if that concerns you or not, though. But yeah, it I is something you guys probably have all noticed.
That's probably why I was over
by Vicky.
It does
concern
Vicky.
Me.
Yeah. Okay.
We all, like, break off around the same time and start, like, wandering the party.
Yeah, where's Prim, Vicky? You've seen her?
At all? Vicky seems a bit drunk at this point. She's just like, no, actually, I haven't seen her in a while. Oh, God.
Yeah, this is
all paranoid.
Yeah, when she disappears, usually bad things are happening.
We need to find her. We need to find her right now. So Victoria starts like looking for Prim.
Can I?
She's not quite at the point where she's like Prim.
Yeah,
but you know, you can see the fear growing.
I walk up to them at this point. I'm like, hey, were you guys on Prim Watch? Who was on Prim Watch? I lost track.
Was it Sebastian?
Where's Bass?
Was it Watt?
Sorry.
Watt's not here because Watt's not allowed in the city.
She came with us, right?
Yeah,
she was here, right?
She was here.
In the
she was
she
here.
Right? No, she was here. Watch
investigation check to find Prim.
Yeah. Okay, here we go.
Investigation. Ooh, that's not good.
It's intelligence based.
Ooh, 17.
Oh, nice.
That would be a 13.
Nice. I rolled 2 fives in a row. I got a 9.
Ooh, I'm sorry, my friend. So everyone's kind of looking throughout like the majority of like the party areas, but Sebastian, you end up finding a door that goes to like a separate room, and you go inside and you realize like it's a bedroom, and then beyond the bedroom there is like a balcony overseeing the city of Starworm City, and you see Prim, and she seems to be kind of just like on the balcony looking at the city.
I'll walk up to her and just slowly approach her and say, "Prim, is everything okay? You all right?"
She's silent for a minute, and then she says. I'm kind of worried. I'm worried that we attracted too much attention. And I'm worried that, like, I understand we came here because we needed to get the information. I understand that, you know, you guys are trying to help me, and I can't tell you how much I appreciate it, but, like, maybe we're being selfish. Like, what if we put countless people here in the city in imminent danger just from our presence?
Look.
You're not here yet.
Oh, I'm not? Oh, it's just that. Sorry.
Yeah, I noticed it.
But we can bring you guys in a second.
He, at this point, Sebastian, like, he has that light bulb go on in his head. Like, he just hasn't realized, like, what they've been doing. He's like,
oh, shit. Fuck, you're right.
Prim, I understand where you're coming from. I know what you're saying. And you know what? I agree with you. We probably should make our exit here soon. Don't worry. We'll take care of the situation. We'll handle it. Everything will be okay. I promise you, we'll be okay.
You guys can. You guys
he kind of puts his arm around her, kind of like to comfort her.
Absolutely.
Kind of like,
it'll be okay. She appreciates the hug. So. You guys can wander in now as Prim's responding to Sebastian. And she says,
"Oh, looky, looky, what we have here!
This is what it looks like." No, no, Prim's like, Prim's like, "You guys are really, awesome. I can't tell you how much I appreciate it. I feel useless. You guys basically put yourselves in danger to gain information to help me, and I just sat and watched. Like, I want to do something.
You're our family. We're going to do what we can for you.
Maybe you're our rock."
You're super drunk.
Yeah, Prim, I mean, you're a little bit more noticeable than
A giant albino furbog. Than a giant albino furbog.
I mean, you're right.
Point.
I don't know what to say now.
You are incredibly large. What the hell?
Wait a minute!
Is this just new information
like
right
now? The big man.
Yeah.
But you're the big man.
I am. I definitely am.
Have you been big that whole time?
I have.
Okay.
This is since day. Are you just barely noticing? We've been together how long?
Five months. I'm going on six.
I'm just a little confused.
6 months together?
I'm just a little confused.
You need to lay off the sauce there, Carter.
Feel free to roll insight if you wish. If not, we can kind of leave it here.
No, I want to take care of my baby girl. That's a 17.
It's a 16.
Oh, you guys are very insightful.
It's based off of wisdom. So, yes. True.
I got a 13.
Okay. Well, 16 and 17 are really good, so I'm going to give it to you guys. I think essentially it's pretty obvious here that Prim is feeling like she wants to do more, and she wants to have more control over her own situation. And she appreciates and loves you guys, but like she feels like she's a burden and she's not contributing.
Gotcha.
And then on top of it, like all this, and you guys are probably putting like a million people's lives in danger.
Yeah, probably.
I think it's just it's wearing on her, and she's searching for an idea or inspiration of something a goal she can like reach for to like become a better version of herself. Does that make sense?
No, it does. Yeah. Well, you figure because she doesn't have control over herself.
Right.
She has these forms that she pops into.
Exactly.
She has no control over
things. She's got no control over the forms. She's got no control over like the people who are after her, the time travel. And then she's got a thing she wants to do, and she cannot do it without you guys because you guys are basically doing all the grunt work.
They get that, not Carter, right?
They got that, not Carter. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I mean, we're here to help you with whatever you need, Prim. I mean, we'll get you to that spot where you can turn into a badass angel dragon fiend thing and just start whipping on these elves with us. You know what I mean?
Like, yeah. Give me a persuasion check on that. Okay. I love that.
Persuasion?
Yeah.
With my minus one, hell yeah. That would be a 16.
Wow, that's really good.
I love my baby.
She laughs because what you said is so ridiculous. But she says, "Thank you, Percy. Maybe one day I can't control it."
Yeah. I mean, I couldn't always control turning into various beasts and things. You should have seen the first time I turned into a snake. It was just, I didn't know what the hell I was. I didn't know what the hell I was.
Where are my arms?
I got stuck into a tree. Like, I don't. Like, I accidentally shifted back while I was in a tree. And, I'm a big girl. Like, Carter just realized. And I was just ass out of the tree.
Enormous.
And I just, you know.
This conversation is really, like, you're hitting her where she lives.
Yeah.
You're doing a good job.
I got you.
She feels better.
Carter's not tuning in because he's just, like, staring at you.
Yeah, he's like,
yeah.
You're
so big. With that, Prim's ready to at least relax with the festivities, and we can wrap up the party.
Sure.
Unless there's something you guys want to do while you're still here.
I mean, she's right. We just televised ourselves to fucking the whole universe. So.
I want to see if they have
She is right.
I want to see if they have good quality ice cream there that she can actually try ice cream for the first time.
Most definitely.
All right. So
she's not going to like it, man. Look, I didn't take off my costume the entire time we've been here, all right? No one knows who I am. I am Carter Strumberg.
Yeah, sure. There's a selection of premium ice creams at the dessert bar.
Hey, Prim, I promise you ice cream. You want to get some good shit right now. Let's go get some ice cream, see if you like it.
Okay, I'm going to roll randomly just to see what the quality of this ice cream is.
Come on, ice cream.
Would I know if there are other
What flavor is it, by the way?
What did you say? Chorusless? Firbolgs. Choirless. Yeah. Firbolgs.
Say it again. What are you asking about?
Like, would I know that there's... If there are other choirless Firbolgs in the universe?
Yes.
Through my...
There are.
Researching and everything like that?
Not here, because goblin territory. So the goblins are very tolerant of most species, with the exception of elves, firbolgs, gnomes, and dwarves.
So does anybody know I'm, like... Have I met any sort of...
It's not... They're not at, like, for example, like, you're not catching any hate, but there are certainly no Firbolgs that live here.
Xenophobic ass. Yeah. Okay.
And interesting. Gnomes and dwarves... specifically are outright banned from being coming into the city.
Yeah. Okay. I was just curious, like maybe if there was another Firbolg on the TV doing this shit.
I'm sure there are lots of people that are super
and you're albino, so that's another giveaway. Okay, what flavor ice cream?
Yes.
So
I can space cookies and cream.
Yeah, sorry.
Cookies and cream. It's an 8. She thinks it's okay. She goes, not bad.
You know, I'm disappointed.
This was anticlimactic, but it's okay.
I'm sorry, Prim. I'm on a mission to get you good fucking ice cream.
There's better flavors out there. I mean,
the scene fades.
Molly Bella, where's she?
She's just having a great time. Yeah.
Carter needs to talk with her before the scene plays out.
Okay, she seems rather intimately involved with like two guys.
She's having a goddamn threesome when you walk in on her.
I approach from behind and try to like put my arm under her to like.
Oh.
Like
from behind.
Might I have a moment with you?
Madam? Okay. All right. Give me a charisma check.
Okay. Oh please.
Now would be the time. Ooh.
Another 5.
Damn.
But charisma.
What's the total though? Is it above a 10?
So what kind of charisma check are you looking for, though?
Charisma?
Can I convince you that, like, I'm...
That you're...
Well, what is the initial thing? Because I'm doing this, but I'm like...
I feel like
I
you're trying to be...
Persuasive.
Pleasant and charming, yes. Because I'll take persuasion.
A 7 gives me a 12.
You're good.
Okay.
A private audience?
Only for a moment, and then I will...
Gladly
return you back to your two eager gentlemen back there. Are they gentlemen?
They're gentlemen.
Very handsome. Molly Dalla, I do need...
Is this business or pleasure?
Business. Very pleasurable business.
You would bring business at this party that I've thrown for you.
Business for later, if it suits you.
Very well. I shall spare a moment.
I have a couple of private questions, and I haven't been able to get you alone to ask you with... as much discretion as possible from the other...
Very well.
Yes,
she follows you. She follows you.
Well, that's... I just want to... Can we set up a time later? I don't want to take you away from what you're doing. I just would like a private audience in the future.
Oh, I see. Okay. She says... you may stop by tomorrow after noon. We may have lunch.
Thank you.
Okay.
Noon? I'll be there.
Okay.
A pleasure. And I walk her back to her gentleman. Sorry, boys. Yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
When I hit a light.
And from there, we're moving away from the after party. Yes. And where the hell do the three of you wake up?
Oh, shit.
In the ship.
Okay.
But, like, fuck. What are the compartments of the ship? Like, what is the ship made of? Is there, like, a docking bay? Is there, like, a cargo bay?
So, in this case, like, the Brunhilde is just straight up parked on wasteland.
It's just far.
Fucking, yeah, it's outside the city. But you guys can, like, from where you guys are at the hotel, it's probably an hour's walk.
Yeah. I want to, like, wake up, like, upside down in a compartment. Like,
you got it, yeah. You're hanging out of a bed compartment, for sure.
Knock the fuck out.
What about you guys?
I think I would have tried to convince Korak and his buddies to go out to an after party.
Like a party an after more. After party?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then I'm trying to figure out where we would have ended up. I don't know. Some random spot.
A Waffle House.
Yeah.
The training room inside the Coliseum.
I can see that. Just taking drinks back there and just like checking out. Yeah, I like that one.
I can see you fighting Korak.
Korak or Sebastian, you wake up hungover in the training room. Okay. Along with Korak, Glorblub, and Biter.
That's perfect.
Hanging over Carter. The dumbbells.
Carter goes... Oh, my God. Like, he was going to go lift them, and then just like, nah.
Way now.
Carter goes for a long walk, and he doesn't go to sleep. So he doesn't go to sleep this night, and he sobers up at some point, like, in the early hours of the morning, and he goes to Waffle House.
Okay, cool. You're out of the Waffle House.
Yeah.
So,
real quick, I think the reason we went to the training room is we challenged each other to lifting. to see who could lift the most, and like we it. All just pass out by the time we got
yeah.
there.
Sounds yeah. good. Yeah.
So I think that makes
so
sense.
So, all of you.
Hold on, important detail. Carter orders food and drink and does not eat it.
Okay, cool.
I want it to be like a weird thing where Carter's like not expressive at all during mm-hmm. any of his walking or his like, oh, geez. I'll have the chicken and waffles, please. Oh, and then it just shows up in front of him and he pays and he gets up and like leaves.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah. And he just like at the appropriate time in the morning, he just like walks onto the deck of the ship like nothing ever happened.
Okay. Oh, so at this point, all of you simultaneously receive a message on your bracer jack from Victoria saying we need to have a team meeting. Is everyone free tonight? Question mark.
I'm in the ship already, Vicky.
It'll have like the thing pops up like I'm typing, but it'll like be like 5 minutes long, and I'll just reply with yes.
It's like I'm typing. I love that.
Okay. The three not showing up and then erasing and then showing up and then erasing.
That's hilarious.
I'll be free, but bring wine.
Okay, fair enough.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business, from the launch your online shop stage all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm.
You also see Prim replies in the group chat. Hey. Yes, as well. And Victoria says, let's meet this evening at the briefing room. And so that happens. What do you guys do with the rest of your day? Obviously, I got to tackle this meeting that Carter has thrusted upon me with Maladala.
Little curveball.
What do you guys just generally do with your day? And then I'm going to jump over to Carter.
Probably just try to not be as hungover as... Yeah. I think like, I am.
Yeah. Okay.
That's pretty much
I think I try to rehydrate and probably walk the hangover off and try and just kind of check out the town, really. Yeah. Okay. Walk around and check
Sounds
stuff
good.
Out.
Let me know if there's anything specific you want to do. Carter.
Definitely. So, when I built my character, I took the sage background, and it has a feature that says if I, like, put my mind to it pretty much, I'll know what resources are available to me to find information.
Okay.
I'm trying to play into that a little bit.
Okay. Can you tell me what you're trying to find out?
I'm trying to find out more about, like, I have not been upfront with Sebastian or Percy about, like, my hunt for, like, illithid stuff. I want to know, like, what the details are on what I was able to find on my own as Carter. So I don't really have access to that information, but I know I have access to, like, this world's equivalent of the internet, which is, like, a huge. Broad network, obviously. So Carter's used computer skill might come into play there with like getting into like the dark web or what have you.
Well, okay. So the Illithid Empire is the oldest standing nation in the galaxy. It even predates the Eternal Empire. And it was the Eternal Empire's main rival as the Eternal Empire began its kind of rise to power. Mm-hmm. And for the longest time, they were kind of in this gridlock. Kind of like who controls the most of the galaxy.
Right.
There was eventually a war, and the Elven Empire is responsible for beating back a huge amount of illicit territory about 90,000 years ago. It wasn't quite what we would call the Eternal Empire now, but it was like the Elven United Front, if you will.
Okay.
it wasn't until 20,000 years after that the Eternal Empire was founded with the current emperor who still lives, Solastaran.
So he's 70,000 years old?
Elves do not die. They are completely immortal in this world. These elves are not like your elves. They are taller. They are stronger. They're better at magic. They're smarter. They live forever. They bleed green blood.
He sucked up more Coraline.
back to Illithids. So the Illithids have kind of... Their empire has just shrunk to maybe a quarter of what its original size was. And they terrorized a lot of people. So people were really grateful for the elves for doing that. But then the elves started terrorizing people themselves. Now the Illithids are mostly known for like rogue attacks on border nations for supplies and stuff like that. But for the most part, they keep to themselves. And venturing into Illithid space is extremely dangerous because a lot of people don't come back from that.
Okay. And do I have like a general
Their technology idea? Is not compatible with anyone else's technology. And what they're probably most notably famous for is their ability to create and use a black metal called Umbrium that no one else has ever been able to do anything with, even when they get their hands on it.
Is the Illithid section of space something I'm like vaguely aware of? Like where?
Yeah,
like,
you're kind of vaguely away from like their various territories around the galaxy. Yeah.
Okay. So it's not like a... They're like islands, not like a big blob.
There are a few islands. There's probably like maybe half a dozen islands, some big, some small. But then a big there's blob. A general little quadrant that they kind of exist in.
That's probably typically true of most like strong powers.
Exactly.
Okay, so I think Carter was like able to enjoy himself so much at the tournament because he comes to like a standstill where he can no longer get any data for himself. Mm-hmm. And now he's using these other resources.
Okay.
So that's the full scope of why I'm trying to like plug for this. This is Carter's like private mission and he wants to plug for this information like on his own.
Okay. Sounds
so
good.
Just to preface the meeting here.
Okay. So I take it you go to Chateau Malidala.
Yes.
All right.
Appointed noon.
You meet Stiggs at the door. Stiggs says that the madam has been expecting you. He invites you back.
We do the secret handshake.
Yeah, sure. No, he doesn't do that. And Stiggs takes you back to the original audience hall where you met her. And rather than her sitting on a throne, she's actually sitting at a table. And she's got wine and other food laid out. And she goes, welcome.
I'm still in my...
I'm glad you came.
I'm seriously, since I put this costume on while I'm on this planet, I'm not taking it off. So I tip my top hat.
Yeah.
And I say, Madame, you're looking lovely as always.
Well, thank you, Monsieur Carter. You are also looking very handsome today.
I appreciate
Please
that.
Please, have a seat. Let us talk this business.
Sure, and I take the seat. Like she's at like the end of the table. I take the one like adjacent to her.
Mm-hmm. So she pulls out a tablet and she goes, so what questions do you have for Malidala to answer today?
Now, I know we did set you on tasks with other pieces of information. So I'm not sure where the gray area begins and ends, but I'm most interested in... the Empire of the Illithids. You see, I've done as much research as I possibly can myself, and I seem to be at a standstill as far as their hierarchies, their social structures, there's many things that maybe I could be filled in on. Is that information that you're privy to?
She says, well, one of the reasons that you have not been able to find this information is because infiltration into the Illithid society is impossible.
Yeah, I'm not good at firewalls. I thought that was just me, but they're very difficult.
They are psionic and psychic, so you can read minds, they can recognize one trying to exist amongst them that isn't one of them. I'm afraid I have very little pull when it comes to... acquisition of Illithid information. No one really knows their hierarchy or how their society runs.
What about history? I have trouble finding too much that dates back beyond.
I could look into historical military conflicts with various other nations.
I think that would be worth my time, definitely.
Okay. She writes it down. Anything else?
So, like, names, right? Weird. Can't find anything. Specifics. Is that available information? Like their leadership, their...
Leadership, like, you can't find anywhere.
Yeah, so
like, don't know their hierarchy, you don't know how their society works, you don't know how many there theoretically are. They are a big enigma.
Pretty much, like, anything that you can give me or any leads that I can follow on...
Leads to what?
That would help me, maybe somebody that I could... persuade myself that you might know adjacent, a friend of a friend perhaps, that knows a little bit more about the situation that I could go speak with.
She says...
This is out of your realm. I need something. I need anything.
I can see what I can do. This is less of a dangerous request than your last one, but a very difficult one in its own way.
I figured it might be.
How about we hold price discussion until I see what I come back with?
I think that would be fair.
Very well. Lunch?
I would love some.
Okay, so she'll have lunch with you if you're willing to just kind of like drop the business talk.
Yeah, it's fish, right?
Yeah, there's totally fish.
I love fish.
Absolutely fish.
Absolutely love fish.
Okay, so Molly Dalla and Carter have dinner, or lunch, excuse me. Mm-hmm. That goes, we'll just say well. And we'll come to the time where everyone's expecting to be back at the briefing room.
For sure.
All right. So anyone want to do anything between there?
Go to Space McDonald's, get like a large fry.
Get the goblin. You get the bugbear size. Yeah.
Because I'm real hungover. I need a large fry.
Potatoes soaked with that booze.
A large Sprite and just like a gallon of water. And I'm just carrying that around with me.
There you go. Okay, so yeah, that happens.
Carter goes on a walk, expressionless, and he winds up at the Waffle House and he orders the same thing he ordered last night. And he doesn't eat it and he gets up and leaves and meets at the ship.
Jesus okay. Christ. So you guys meet at the briefing room. Victoria and Pam are there. They're having coffee and waiting for you guys. Wine is available, but they don't seem to be drinking it.
I need coffee bad.
Give me some coffee.
I literally coffee. Just have bugbear, like, four larges in this head, and I just cradle, like, water, and I'm just like, get that wine away from me.
That's hilarious.
You monsters. Carter,
you have the wine? You asked for it.
I sit down, and I order the chicken and waffles, and then I realize where I am, and I'm like, no, yes, wine. I'll have some wine, please.
She gives you a strange look, but she pours you some wine. And she sits down. All of you guys are sitting down at the table, and you can tell Victoria has something to say. You can tell she's not comfortable with the conversation she's about to have, but she's obviously got something on her mind.
Well,
what's up, Vicky?
Okay,
out with it. I'll see it.
I'm going to level with you guys.
You better.
Since the orders of the universe have landed me with you guys, 5 months ago now.
It's
been a pretty wild ride, but it's also been a savings destroying one as well. Between the regular repairs and maintenance of the ship, between food and supplies, I'm down to my last 30K. If you guys had lost the tournament, I would be breaking the news that we all have to get jobs. But instead, I want to propose a budget. So here's my budget. Here's what I propose. For 40K... I can make sure that everyone on this ship is fed, clothed, and supplied, along with regular maintenance, ability to stop off at stations, replenish our aether cores, etc., for an entire year. I can put in 10K out of my own 30. If you guys, I'm not sure how you guys are splitting your money, but if you split it evenly, then if you each put in the other 10K, you would all have 23K each still on your own. Is this a budget that you guys are willing to work with?
I'm good
because
with it.
As far as I can tell, we're going to be traveling all over the galaxy.
Yeah, of course.
It's fair to me.
Ugh, I hate this money business. I was a noble, treated as such anyway, for a king, a powerful king. And I'm like opening my Cash App and I'm like sending her the money.
Oh my God. Okay,
all right. So she said.
I used to live a life of lavish luxury.
You still do, motherfucker? Look at you.
So she sets up a separate budget account, separate from her personal account. That holds 40,000 credits. You guys can go ahead and write 23K on each of your things. You guys all have 23K credits. We'll say you guys went to the bank already, so you guys have money.
Cashed our
Victoria just looks fucking relieved. She's like, ugh, I hate talking about money.
Yeah, me too. So I had spent some arbitrary amount of money in a previous episode. It was like 10 or 15 something. Does anybody remember that and what I bought? Was it ice cream? Did I pay for the ice cream?
I think you might have paid for the ice cream.
Let's call that 15 for now. And then how much were my chicken and waffles? I got two orders.
10 credits each.
Okay, so that'll put me at 35. So then, yeah. How much am I adding? 20K?
23K.
23. And then 737 credits. Yay. We're keeping track of money, damn it. I'm trying to do it right.
Indeed.
The first game ever.
So.
Yeah, true.
Victoria says, kind of at the last thing of this meeting, I spoke with Maladala yesterday, and she says that she should have all of our inquired about information within a week. So we got to sit tight for a week.
Okay. Hey, real quick, sorry for the offshoot, but was it clear in my scene with Maladala that that was supposed to be kept secret? Like that was a private meeting with pure discretion.
I think it's implied. Yeah, okay. I think it's implied because you were very specific about wanting it to be private.
Okay,
so,
good. As long as that's like in the canon.
And Maladala is a naturally, despite her ostentatious appearance, when it comes to this business, she's incredibly discreet.
Trading favors. Mm-hmm.
So, what do you guys want to do over the course of this week, if anything?
I'm gonna lay low.
You're gonna lay low
after the conversation.
No one's spending any money
after the conversation with Prim. Sebastian's worried. Mm. He wants to lay low in the ship.
Wise.
That's stay true. Away from the public
wisdom.
Eye.
That is very true. I can't think of anything to buy with our money, so I feel like laying low is the right call.
Okay, Carter?
You go buy some dirt.
I just go outside and get that.
Hippie. Maybe that's a good conversation we can have. Oh, you say that out loud, and that's what Carter says to you as he like walks out the ship to the Waffle House.
Hippie.
Every night. I go to the Waffle House and every night and do the exact same thing every single night.
Where does Carter go?
That's hilarious.
I take a walk. Like, I go to wherever the party ended. Mm-hmm. I walk there, and then I walk the loop to the Waffle House. Mm-hmm. And then I sit and order the chicken and waffles, and I pay for it, and I leave.
I guess in person, when I turn into the chicken lizard and just, like, trailing Carter to find out what's going on. What is Carter doing?
I feel like when... as you're doing this, especially at night, and you're, like, walking the streets, every once in a while you see... From the periphery of your vision, you see the silhouette of the Nyarlathotep from your original vision. Mm-hmm. Remember, he's just like that black silhouette with glowing white eyes.
Yes.
But every time you look, he's gone.
Okay. Mm. Yeah, and Carter's mind is in that frame right now. He's trying to... I don't know what he's trying to do, but like this is like kind of... He's spacing out a little bit.
I like it. This is cool.
In his way, he's thinking, but it's like almost like meditation, but it's not... It's like that kind of otherworldly thing.
Yeah, I feel you. I like that. That's cool.
Interesting.
All right. Well, we're going to fast forward to, unless you got something to say.
I just was wondering about the staff at the Waffle House.
Yeah, they're definitely like...
Sketched out, right?
Just shrugging. Here's a question. Are you tipping?
No.
Yeah, they're not happy. they give you dirty looks, but I feel like in this state of mind, you're not even noticing that.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah, they're definitely like, you're getting worse and worse service each time. It's taking longer and longer for the food to come out, and the food's coming out in like a worse state each time, but I feel like you don't care.
Yeah, I'm not eating it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just ordering the chicken and waffles.
So yeah, that happens. So okay. Let's fast forward. A week's going to go by, and you guys are on board the ship with Victoria, Prim, and Watt. And you guys are in the briefing room again, and Watt has pulled up a hologram over the center console, and he's like in the middle of like giving you guys just a briefing on what him and Prim have been working on, because Prim and him have been working on like blood tests and stuff to try and like just try and figure out what's going on with her.
I think I started off like helping them with that, and then I got caught up with the tournament.
And then you became Tuxedo Mask.
Oh yeah, and now I'm at the Waffle House a lot.
That's true.
So there is a hologram over the center console of what looks to be like this enormous DNA strand. So Prim and I have been running some biopsies to try and learn something about the genetic makeup of Prim here. What we found has been curious, to say the least. This here is a typical structure of nucleic acids we see in any given humanoid. But believe it or not, the genetic differences between species is not as vast as one might think.
I know all about that. Because I'm the science person.
Indeed. This, on the other hand, and he like presses some buttons and changes the holographic projection, is the genetic code of our friend Primina. So the double helix that was there transforms into a molecular sequence double the size of the previous one. Ooh. And rather than being a double helix, it's a complex intertwining overlapping set of strands making up essentially 16 helixes.
Fuck.
She has more than 8 times the average genetic information of any known humanoid within my records. What's more, though, and he presses another button, and the helix begins to rotate slowly, so like it's like moving in real time. And suddenly, the entire structure begins to like violently vibrate. perspective, it's inherently unstable. And then two of the helixes actually just completely break off and, like, disperse and shatter. He goes, in fact, here is where the genome should begin a cascading failure, but watch what happens next. Suddenly, alongside the outside of the DNA strand, over a dozen spherical shapes float up and align themselves with the breaking molecule. Then, suddenly, electrical pulses shoot out of these orbs and at the genetic coding. This somehow ends up snapping the helixes back to stability, and the orbs float away. These are nanobots on a level of complexity I have never even heard of. This destabilizing, restabilizing event is occurring over a dozen times a second in every single cell in her body. This is... I feel like a child trying to understand how the universe has been made. This is beyond me. Still, I'm not giving up. And as he's speaking, Watt actually gets up, interrupted by Artax, who's also in the room. And Artax says, approaching... front door, small humanoid.
And then, like, the Ring app?
Yeah, it's like the Ring app. And, like, a hologram comes out of Artax's eyes, and you guys see a small child holding a package at the door of the Brunhilde, and he's knocking.
The hell? Is anybody expecting a child today?
I'll get it. Carter gets up. Carter, I've been waiting for my chance to say this, but Carter is in a lab coat. Like, okay, he was getting ready to, like, help present, and then he realized I forgot that I don't do this anymore. I forgot to do this.
This isn't who I am anymore.
And, like, I had this costume, like, oh, we're doing it, and, like, I got it on. So I've been buying costumes. So we'll
okay, cool.
That.
Yeah, you now have a doctor's uniform.
But I go to the door and I'm dressed up like a doctor.
Okay, Victoria's gonna go with you.
Oh.
And as a matter of fact, do you guys go with her? Does
yeah.
everyone go with? We'll
yeah,
say everyone
sure.
goes with.
Yeah, sure.
So everyone goes with because everyone's like, why is there a kid here?
This hallway's very cramped.
Door opens and the kid looks, whoa, like a bunch of people. And he says, delivery for Vicky and her boys?
I'm the boys. Give me.
He has the package over to you. Victoria rolls her eyes and she attempts to grab the package from you.
Oh, come on.
The kids scamper.
Let her idly take it.
Okay, she takes the package. The kid scampers off. And the package is roughly the size of a large book, and it's got a note on the front. And Victoria reads it, and she rolls her eyes even more, and she, like, hands you guys the note. Do you guys read it?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He didn't even ask for a halfpenny. I would have given him a full penny.
Yes.
Dear V, here is the information I could acquire per your request during my inquisitions. Into your topics of subject, I have been made aware of certain pertinent information that would have been wonderful to know beforehand. As such, I will be taking a long vacation and will be indisposed for quite some time. Mm. I highly suggest you do the same.
Oh, no.
Love always, Molly.
And Victoria is like, we need to go.
She knows we're fugitives. Let's go.
If Molly's leaving town, that means trouble's not far behind.
Yeah.
We're getting out of here.
Yeah.
What? Let's get the ship started. So they're doing that. You guys are left with the package. Do you guys open it up and all that?
Yep.
Sure.
Okay, so you guys end up opening it up, and it's actually a physical paper dossier with, like, boatload of information inside. Oh. It's going to take some going through. Do you guys, like, take the time to start this now?
Sure.
Okay.
I'd be super interested.
You guys can go to the briefing room. Yeah. Prim will join you guys.
Okay.
So
the ship is, like, starting up right now?
Yeah, ship's starting up.
Okay.
You guys start, like, laying out the papers. You guys take off. I would say by the time you guys are, like, 15 minutes in, the ship's already in space, and Victoria and Watt are trying to figure out just a jump just to get away. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
It is then where I'm like, I left my costume at the dry cleaners. I left my Carter Struttenbergs at the dry cleaner.
That's okay. It was just a tuxedo.
Future.
That's ridiculous.
We can get you another one.
I have another one.
You can borrow some of my clothes.
That was my second one. How do you think I was keeping those clean?
There's you
one
want
in
some
my closet
clothes?
Right now. No, I just said I have one. Okay. I have one in the closet.
Well, you need a backup.
I left my other one down there.
I literally thought you were just wearing the same uniform just over and over again. I was like, damn, this guy.
That's disgusting.
Exactly. That's what I was saying.
I cleaned in between and I had this coat.
Oh, wow. Is that where you went all the time?
What does the note say?
Go to the 24-hour dry cleaner and just start rotating your
uniforms?
I take it you guys spend the next couple hours going through the information.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to give you guys just a couple, like, synopsis of what you guys kind of, like, garner from, like, this massive info. So get ready for the info dump. You guys can keep these little things I wrote out for your notes or whatever. Perfect. Let's start with Zahn, because that was the first person you asked about. So information on Dr. Zahn that you guys managed to get from this. Dr. Archimedes Zahn, race gnome, age 350 with a little asterisk because he's known to be missing and presumed to be deceased. Born in the Cyber Federation world of Volcana to a rock cast family of steel miners, Zahn showed an inordinate amount of intellect at a young age and was offered sponsorship to a specialized science academy. There he excelled to such a degree that he graduated top of his class at a younger age than most others are accepted. This academic performance allowed Zahn a free admission to the Principal Lyceum of Science and Analytics, the most prestigious university in Cyber Federation territory. He ended up majoring in genetics, cybernetics, archaeology, and astronomy, receiving doctorates in each. Considered to be a generational genius, he began a professorship at the Principal Lyceum at age 35, extremely young for his species, I would say 19 or 20 in human years. Despite making such an impact initially, such a large splash in the academic community, Zahn ends up falling into obscurity after about a decade without publishing any works of note. 5 years after this decade, he is noted to have published one paper, and it's the only paper he ended up publishing in his entire career on his theory of genetic apotheosis, which ended up being met with a high degree of criticism and ridicule by his peers. 5 years after this publishing of his theory, Zahn ends up being arrested after discovery of unethical experimentation being done upon Lyceum students in his secret laboratory on university grounds. Zahn was charged with 20 counts of abduction, torture, and inhumane genetic manipulation and sentenced to life in prison. Despite this, though, Zahn ends up being extracted by elven forces and brought to the Imperial Palladium, which is the elven ultimate academy.
Ooh.
Not long after his imprisonment, in order to discuss his theories with the Elven Magi there. Here, Zahn ends up being invited into a government think tank for 15 years. No records can be found on the think tank, but Zahn appears to have been siphoned into a classified scientific military operation codenamed Project Bloodline.
Oh, my.
Here, he disappears for another 30 years with no records of his existence. After this, though, reliable reports of a gnome matching Zahn's description appears in the Cyber Federation frontier colony of Zovra. This presumed Zahn individual then puts out an expedition notice, a hiring notice for an expedition venturing out to a planet called Namulith for an archaeological excavation. One odd fact about this job posting that sticks out is that Zahn was incredibly specific about the species of the people he was hiring. He specifically was looking for a single tiefling, a single genasi, and a single dragonborn. Zahn ends up leaving Zorva, presumably for the planet of Namulith at this point, and then he disappears again. No one sees him. The last information that could be found pertaining to Zahn was some military recordings about 50 years after this incident between two elven war vessels reporting him to be missing in action.
Oh.
I'll give this to you guys.
Thanks. I'm going to need to copy that later.
Yeah, I have bolded and underlined all the key terms that are going to be important information you guys should probably know.
Nice.
Hell yeah.
I now have a write-up on Denethar son of Anadur.
Yeah.
I know it's a big one. Okay.
Fuck that guy.
Fucker.
Denethar son of Anadur, race elven, age 1,534 years. Imperial Marshal in the Armada of the Holy Eternal Empire, recently promoted from Imperial Magister, Denethar is a young officer graduated from the Imperial Military Academy at the top of his class. Son of the notable Justice Saint of the Shi'ar Knights, Anadur, son of Jandar. Now, when you guys find this out, I would say Watt's going to end up coming back, and so is Victoria. And when they hear and read Justice Saint of the Shi'ar Knights, both of them look fucking horrified. And they reveal to you that the Justice Saints are essentially high generals that are in charge of the elite private army that answers only to the Emperor himself, and they are outside the jurisdiction and hierarchy of the normal military. They are considered faultless. They are considered, their word is law. They could go out into the street and kill a pregnant woman, and no one would do anything about it because they are divine.
Ooh, yuck.
Justice Saints.
And would they do that?
Well, no, I'm just saying that is something they could do without question because they are unquestionable.
That's an important,
interesting
thing to note. Okay.
So, yeah, they're not just out there killing.
Okay, cool.
I'm just saying that they could do the most horrible atrocity and no one is allowed to question them.
For right. Okay. Shit.
So, the career path of Denethor has been unorthodox. Most graduates of the military academy, even top graduates like Denethor, must serve at least one century minimum as a junior lieutenant aboard an active warship. Denethor, though, was immediately picked up by a military intelligence agency and given commandership of a vessel and disappeared behind classified mission after classified mission. No reputable documentation could be found, but most information pointed towards top-secret negotiations and intelligence gathering with illicit forces.
Mm.
Recently, he has been reported to be assigned to the pursuit of terrorists against the Eternal Empire.
Oh, yeah.
Fancy that.
And we sure are.
So, during Maladala's team's, like, search into your information, they saw a connection between the two individuals of Denethor and Dr. Zahn. A connection has been made between Denethor's career and his father. Anadur, son of Jandar, was one of the six justice saints in charge of the Emperor's elite military force, the Shi'ar Knights, before reportedly being killed in action aboard his S-class dreadnought, the Sahandrian. The Sahandrian ventured deep into illithid territory in pursuit of a top-secret asset of the Eternal Empire, codenamed the Egress Article, and one Dr. Archimedes Zahn. Mm. The last transmission made by the Sahandrian was a report that the secret assets and Dr. Zahn were missing in action. The Sahandrian was then ambushed by an illithid warfleet and felled. The Eternal Empire managed to keep the news of the death of Justice Saint Anadur secret before falsifying a death report claiming that the Sahandrian had actually felled while protecting an ally system from illithid attacks. So they were very specific in not wanting people to know any of the stuff existed where the Sahandrian fell. Going through the coordinate reports, the Sahandrian was shot down near the Manzikorian system within the territory of the Illithid Empire. Mm. That can also go with you guys. Lastly, you guys asked about orcs. And again, the information was incredibly sparse. Essentially, the only evidence of orcs that could be found was the evidence of the Elven Empire performing a systematic and complete destruction or acquisition of evidence of this ancient culture. Any acquisitions would likely be held in the vaults of the Imperial Palladium. And that is all I got.
It's like because elven belief is that, like, you know, orcs are bad, right? Like, all that stuff.
I mean, in our time. In your guys' time, yes.
And this is like, they just exhibit, like, all these blown up traits of elves. Like, they're really embracing, like, and pushing toward ending their own personal, like, racial conflicts.
Right.
Or what have you. And, like, really embodying, like, whatever it means to be an elf is, like, just very
magnified.
Yeah. Super elves. Super space elves.
So.
Shit. Okay, so what do Vicky and Watt think of this info? Are we, like...
I mean, I feel like everyone at this moment is just kind of taking it in and trying to connect the dots. Mm. And that is all the information you guys are going to receive in order to decide what your next move is going to be. And that is where we're ending today's session.
I want the Grumsh saga.
If you guys like what we do here, if you like this show, if you like this channel, please leave a like and subscribe. And please tell a friend. Share the show. We really want people to see this show. So if you want to help us in any way, that's the number one way. And we'll talk to you guys later.
Bye-bye.
That good lore drop.
I hate this guy even more now.
Yeah.
Like, I already hated him, but now it's like, it just made him
sound
bitch,
like,
man,
more of an asshole. Because even his family is an asshole.
Oh my God.
You guys are hilarious. Families of assholes.
Elf ass.
Hate it. That's